Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes, does it again, again! It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It's a Who Says No edition bonus episode for you guys today. Before we get going, remember, hit that subscribe button. Get those notifications when podcasts drop. Wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe, rate 5 stars. You can check it out on YouTube as well. We're on the WEI channel. You can find the Play Tessie playlist there. We got all our episodes. You can see our faces there. Hit the thumbs up on the videos. Subscribe to WEI. Sammy is in particular, he's beautiful, man. He's gorgeous. You can see the little hair poking out on the sides of his neck.
It's not coming off of my neck. That's coming off my head. It's just long. I don't have long neck hair. If you're listening, I do not have long neck hair.
He does. Quote. He has long neck hair. He developed it in his 50s, and it's really grown in his 60s, but...
long neck hair.
Yeah, and this is done up. When we're not recording, he usually braids it.
Oh, I bad. Hope, if you're listening, I hope this is the first time you've tuned in to Play Tessie.
But yeah, subscribe, man, everywhere, including YouTube. Also on the socials, at Play Tessie, both Twitter and Instagram. Here with Sammy, here with Pat, and today's Who Says No coming from our very own Dr. P, Patrick Brown. What do you got for us, Pat?
I got a pretty simple one, but I really like it. Which is odd because normally the simple ones aren't fun, but I think I like this one a lot. All right. So there's a couple of teams that we know are maybe sellers or at least maybe looking to offload a bunch of guys. The Twins, the Padres, the Marlins and White Sox might as well just trade everybody. One team in the division that is kind of selling is the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, what do the Tampa Bay Rays have that would entice the Red Sox?
Yandy Diaz.
Let me introduce you to 2023 batting average champ, Yandy Diaz.
Let's go.
So way to I go. Thanks a lot, Gordo.
I thought that this was very fitting considering in the last 48 hours as we're recording this, Paul Goldschmidt has signed, Nathaniel Lowe has been traded, Josh Naylor has been traded. So my Who Says No for tonight. The Red Sox get Yandy Diaz. The Rays get Josh Winkowski with 4 years of control. And per Sox Prospects, because we're not amateurs here, we go by the big guns. Password, Yoss Nixon. So I have Yoss Nixon and Winkowski going out to Tampa for Yandy. And before anyone reacts, let me explain the train of thought here. Josh Naylor, who is, I don't think this would be much of an argument whatsoever, is a much better player than Yandy Diaz. Just got traded. He is a rental, I am aware, for 6 years of a reliever. Nathaniel Lau has 2 years of control. Got moved for, I believe, 5 years of a reliever.
Don't back up for Naylor, though. They got like a comp B pick, too.
And a comp B pick, you're right.
So that's
so
not
then
nothing.
You're looking at controllable relievers for first baseman right now. Yandy is a little bit rare because his contract's pretty good. He's making $10 million this year. He has a club option for $12 million next year. In return, they get Wink, who, for me, I just see him as like a guy who fits that Rays mold, kind of like a Jeffrey Springs or one of those guys who can stretch out into a starter, but if not, is a really good like middle reliever. Get him in that Tampa pitching factory.
You're saying he's the next guy that they would snag from the Red Sox and make amazing?
Yes. And then on top of that, just to sweeten the pot a little bit, because you do maybe get 2 years of control of Yandy, there's two things that the Red Sox have ass loads of in the farm league right now. It is middle infielders and outfielders. Yoss Nixon is, I believe, 21 or 22, 12 ranked. He's kind of an outfielder. I see him more of a DH type. So they just move out from the lower half of that surplus in Winkowski. They get a righty bat who can hit for contact. He walks. He does not strike out. Plays first and third. Can get Rafi and Casas off the feet. That is my who says no.
Tam, you want to go first?
Yeah. I mean, from the Red Sox perspective, I think it's great. I think Winkowski is fine. I think he's nothing special. It wouldn't kill me to see him go or stay. I really don't care. And then you have Yastinson Garcia, a good prospect, not a great prospect. I think the Red Sox would definitely do this. I'm not sure the Rays would, but if this was the best offer they got, I don't think they'd sit on Yandy. I think they'd take it. So contingent on a team not blowing them away for Diaz, then yeah, I don't think this one is unrealistic at all. And I think that the fit with Yandy is outstanding. 85th percentile K percentage. Guy doesn't whiff. He doesn't chase. Squares the ball up. Like, great. He just the knock against him is he doesn't hit for much power. Red Sox got plenty of power. So good fit. And like you said, he can play both corners. He's not good at either of them, but he can play there if you need him to. So I like this one a lot. It's simple, sweet and simple.
Here's my evaluation of it. I'll go from the Rays perspective first. I actually don't think they would get a better offer for Yandy Diaz if they were willing to trade him. So if he's a guy that they're looking to move, and they can kind of be mysterious with this stuff sometimes. Like they were kind of, maybe we'll trade these guys. Maybe we'll trade Jeffrey Springs. And then they did trade Jeffrey Springs. But sometimes there's other guys where you think they're going to trade. Like I feel like Brandon Lau and Pete Fairbanks have been guys they might trade for a long time, and they haven't traded either of them. So you never know. But if they're down to trade Yandy Diaz, I think this would probably be as good of an offer as they would get for him. And I love Yandy Diaz. I have been on board the Yandy Diaz train to the Red Sox for years now. But we talked about it a little bit on the last podcast. I'm nervous about where he would fit, because you can only get Yandy Diaz because his third base defense is not good. It's worse than Devers. If you get him, he's either your first baseman or he's your DH. I don't want to trade Tristan Casas. I really do. And maybe that's the answer to this question, is this is a deal that you make if you trade Tristan Casas for something else. But I don't want to trade Tristan Casas, and I don't think you can trade Massa from your DH spot. So I don't know if, as currently constructed, it fits with the team.
You know, we talked on our last episode about how I would be willing to DFA Yoshida. This is another reason why. I don't want him to prevent the Red Sox from acquiring a guy like Diaz, who is an infinitely better fit. So I hear what you're saying.
It's
though.
Interesting.
I hear what you're saying.
I don't want to say God, it feels like such a trade deadline type of trade where, like, if someone's hurt or if Yoshida's underperforming or the platoon's not working at DH, if that's the route they go, like, perfect trade candidate. And this is to go back. It's why I like the idea of Bregman at second and not pushing Devers to permanent DH, because you can target guys like Yandy Diaz at the trade deadline. But right now, oh God, because like if you told me like, oh, the Red Sox would be willing to get Yandy Diaz in if they DFA'd Yoshida, like it'd be hard for me to say no to that. But I don't know if it's realistic, because the way they would look at it is we're paying $27 million to have Yandy Diaz in the lineup.
I get it. No, I'm with Sammy. I in this circumstance, you cannot have Yoshida, and I'm okay with not having Yoshida. If that means DHing or DFAing him, you do it. The other great aspect of this, and I know all we talked about is Vlad. If you have two options, you can cut ties. Yandy's your kind of DH stopgap. Maybe, you know, Vlad slides in a DH, Tristan, however that sorts itself out, but you now have that spot open if you do want to carry Vlad, Tristan, and Rafi. The other part of it is you could also, if he has a good year at Fenway, pick up his option and flip him, which I think would be infinitely smarter, because even with a higher AAV next year in the option, it's still only $12 million. Paul Goldschmidt can't hit the broadside of a barn right now, and he got $12.5 million. So Yandy, but my point being, Yandy, albeit not a great defender, but a team like the Guardians, a team like the Mariners, like a team that's just desperate for offense but doesn't want to pony up serious cash. Next year, if you're serious about Vlad, you pick up his option, you flip him. We saw Arizona almost did that with Eugenio Suarez at some point this offseason. It happens. It's normal. It opens up a bunch of avenues beyond this year. But I agree. Masataka Yoshida cannot be on this team if you get Yandy Diaz.
I love Yandy so much, and it pains me to say that it might not be a fit right now, because I literally just like last week, I think, professed my love to him on Twitter. And then like maybe 3 or 4 days later came out the report that Arenado wasn't getting moved even for like with Stroman coming back. So like it just crushed my Yoshida dump hopes. And that in turn kind of crushed my Yandy Diaz hopes. But like in terms of like, what do the Red Sox need? They need right-handed hitting that can hit lefties. They need guys that don't strike out. They need guys that take walks. And Yandy Diaz does all of that, and he's great at it. And honestly, he's a guy that might be able to tap into more, because he hits the absolute shit out of the ball. He just hits it low. Like he has no launch angle on these balls. It's like it may be one quick fix, but I do tend to think that if the Rays couldn't do it, I don't know who's going to be able to do it. But even as he is today, like you said, Pat, like this is a batting champion just a couple years ago. Like he's a really good player.
Gordo, I'd argue the Red Sox are better at developing bats than the Rays. The Rays are really good because they're pitching, but
they are
better. All right, here I have a hypothetical for you guys, and this is a very very hypothetical. Let's say that there's like Yandy to the Red Sox smoke in real life. Like there's actually real life smoke in this hypothetical, and then the trade doesn't happen, and we hear from a reliable source, someone that we trust and know who is connected from the Red Sox, hey, the Red Sox wanted to do this deal. The Rays had accepted it verbally, but the Red Sox had to pull out because they couldn't find a spot for Yoshida. How would you guys feel about Yoshida at that point?
I mean, I'd be upset about it, but in the end, it's not like my upset, my displeasure about it would be more so, like, why the hell did you give this guy that everyone thought was worth maybe 50-ish mil, 90-ish mil?
Like, but that's in the past. That's in the past. You can't change that. This is the present right now. You had a deal for Yandy Diaz, and you had to pull out because Yoshida is still on the roster and they don't want to DFA him.
You could honestly, it really all does connect to, are they willing to go over the luxury tax? Because if they're willing to go over the luxury tax, that's a move that you could make and not really feel the pain of it. If they're not willing to go over the luxury tax, then it's just not really a move that you can do. They don't have the space.
They have to be willing to go at least the first tier. It's not even like a real penalty, that first tier. It's minimal to a guy like, whatever. We don't have to talk about
the luxury tax. It's more so about the repeater penalty. Like I keep seeing this, like stats on Twitter keeps talking about that, about like how the penalties are so small. But the issue is it starts the repeater thing. So like if you want to go over in 26 and 27, like I think it's 2-year spurts that you can realistically go over before it starts killing you in the draft. So do you want to go over in 25 and 26, or do you want to go over in 26 and 27? That's the issue.
Yeah, no, and that's I hate that we have to discuss it, but this matters to the Red Sox. And this isn't really a Red Sox thing. This is a most teams thing. Most teams care about that third tier because then you're really getting taxed up the ass. So I get that. I get that. I just, it's been so long. It starts to ring hollow more and more. The longer they stay under with opportunities to go over and make a contender, it's just like, who is this magical player we're waiting for? It was Juan Soto, and now we're on to Vlad Jr. And if they don't get Vlad Jr., I don't know who the next one's going to be after that.
I don't know if there is a grid one after that.
There's always one.
I have one final remark about the whole Yandy Diaz idea. Just something to chew on, something to mull over, something to, you know, a little food for thought here. Career against lefties. He has, and I... an 895 OPS. He has a 311 batting average and a 162 WRC plus.
Hell yeah.
And I think he was even better than that in 2024 against lefties. Because yep. if I'm 924 OPS last year. So he still crushes lefties. Even though he's 33, he's not one of those guys who used to be good. Oh, you're referencing the career numbers. He's better than that against lefties today. So even a stronger point for Pat.
So since we were on the topic of Massa and how a Yandy Diaz fit is considerably better if you trade Massa, we got a DM from our guy, Nate, loyal listener, Nate. And it kind of ties in well. And I have my opinion on this, but I kind of want to get your guys' thoughts first. He proposed us a Who Says No, one for one straight up, Masataka Yoshida for Jordan Montgomery. And I believe Jordan Montgomery makes about $3 to $4 million more this year than Yoshida does. But Yoshida has 3 years on his deal. Montgomery has one.
Yeah, absolutely. I would do that. Are you kidding me? I'd be thrilled.
Would Arizona do it?
No.
Yeah. No, he laid out a comprehensive plan about why this would be amazing for the Red Sox, and he's not wrong in any of his reasoning why it would be great for the Red Sox. But yeah, Arizona, I don't think would take on two additional years of salary just to get a $3 or $4 million break this year.
I don't hate the idea of targeting Montgomery with the Yoshida money dump because they hate Montgomery. That relationship is completely tarnished. So that's a situation which the Red Sox, maybe I wouldn't call it leverage, but it would be like a situation where they wouldn't get completely bent over a barrel with Masataka Yoshida trade negotiations. Plus, on top of that, I'm very confident that Jordan Montgomery is going to have a bounce back 2025.
Me too.
There was nothing at all to indicate a fall off from him. He only started pitching poorly when he missed all of spring training, had that weird offseason, probably was completely out of his routine. And if there's any athlete in the world that is a creature of habit, it's a starting pitcher. So I think he's going to bounce back. I would love that deal. Just not sure if Arizona would do it.
Pat, do you think Arizona would do it?
I don't. I think the only way Arizona would do it is if you get into the taking on some of Massa's money. And then at that point, if you're eating some of Massa's money, how valuable is Jordan Montgomery on a contract like he's on? It's a whole lot of number crunching for a guy that's not going to be a massive difference maker. I would do it straight up if they were like, yeah, we'll take Massa's money. We hate this guy. Yeah, you obviously do that. But when it comes to actually the logistics of it, having to eat some of Massa's while paying a Montgomery, I don't think they do it. And I would want to do it at that point either.
Here's something that I literally just thought of in my head as you guys were talking. And I think I may have whatever. I'm just going to say it. What if you swap them and Red Sox take on Montgomery's money this year, Arizona takes on Yoshida's money this year, and then the Red Sox eat 80% of Yoshida's deal for the next 2 years. So Arizona would probably be paying him $3-ish, $4-ish million per year for the final 2 years of Yoshida's deal. Arizona might be inclined to take that. Would it be worth it for the Red Sox? I assume the answer from, especially you, Sammy, because you wanted to DFA Yoshida on last episode, I assume that this would be a really good thing in your eyes, right? Would the Red Sox do that?
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. If you can get Yoshida off the roster in 2025, you have, you know, a little extra money. And then the following 2 years, whatever. Like, it's so if you said Arizona would be paying $4 million, so that means the Red Sox would be having about 15. Yeah, 14.6. So, yeah, I would do that. I think it makes your roster fit better. I think Yoshida would do well in Arizona. I want Yoshida to do well. I like him. I just don't like the fit. I'm trying to make that abundantly clear. People are like, you hate Yoshida. No, I hate the fit on the roster. So, yeah, and plus, that also gives you a lot of flexibility with trades with, like, Cutter. You can include Cutter in a trade now. Mm-hmm. You have org depth, so you have the luxury of being able to move a guy. So, yeah, I love this. It's just, how would you get Arizona to accept? Maybe if I'm the Red Sox, I'd offer to pay half that money to start, and if the Diamondbacks aren't biting on that, then you go up to, what did you say, Gordo, 75-80%. So, yeah, there's definitely some tweaks that need to be made to the idea, but in general, I think it's reasonable.
The real question is, if you're Arizona, and, like, obviously a lot of this has to do with their fit with the team, and we know that they want to trade a starter, who is the better fit for you this year if money is not an object for Arizona? Because obviously for the Red Sox, it's Montgomery and not Yoshida. Who's the better fit for Arizona if money's not an object? I think I tend to lean Yoshida, but I don't know.
Are we considering the relationship between Montgomery and the Diamondbacks?
I would
imagine that Montgomery does not want to be there. I mean, how often do we hear who's the owner, right?
Yeah.
The owner came out and basically said, yeah, that was a bad choice to bring on Jordan Montgomery. Like, what an asshole. I wouldn't want to play for that guy's team either. So I'd say Yoshida is a better fit for Arizona.
Pat, what do you think? And what do you think about the idea, if you're the Red Sox, would you eat a crap ton of money on the back end to facilitate getting just Montgomery for the 1 year? It kind of would effectively make Montgomery like a 1 year, like 40-ish, whatever, $50 million pitcher.
Yeah, it's tough because...
I mean, it doesn't make sense, but it's better than DFAing.
It's better than DFAing, and then also, like, you just kind of bite the bullet for a year, and then you kind of have all this newfound financial freedom, which in the long term... obviously much better than kind of being tied into a Yoshida, but I mean, that's a big pill to swallow if they do that, but who knows if they're willing to go into the first bracket and, you know, they're comfortable in the bounce back, maybe. Yeah, I guess you do it. I'm not thrilled about it, but I guess you do it.
And from the Diamondbacks perspective, if you're getting Yoshida basically for just money that you're already paying this year, so it's not really like you're paying any, in fact you're saving money to do it, and then next year and the year after you're getting a guy who at a time a couple years ago looked like he could win a batting title, and maybe you think that if he gets healthy he could still do that, and maybe in a better market for him, Arizona is better on the West Coast, so, like, I don't know if you think that's a factor for the Japanese players. Maybe he's a little bit more comfortable where it's warm. I don't know. Maybe you think you can revitalize him and break him back out. If you get that for $4 million a year, like, that's a huge W for you if you're Arizona. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting food for thought. The Yoshida stuff, it's so complicated that it makes me really think that he's not moving. But it is interesting to me that we haven't heard more about Jordan Montgomery this offseason. Like, at the beginning of the offseason, it was all the rage to talk about Jordan Montgomery trades. The owner said all that shit. And now I feel like we haven't heard anything about any sort of momentum on a Montgomery deal from Arizona.
Did you know that only two players from Japan have ever played for the Diamondbacks?
Who are they?
You guys want to try to guess? One of them has come up on Play Tessie before because his nickname is Sammy. For no reason.
Oh, I know exactly who it is. Takashi Saito.
Yeah. Okay. And then the other one, we'll never get this. It's Yoshihisa Hirano.
Was so he like 2016-ish?
I think a little later than that. Yoshihiro. Oh, no, it says 18. Yoshihiro Hirano. I don't think he was very good. He came very, very late in his career.
Yeah. So, yeah, they've had him before. And then they can get Roki Sasaki at the recommendation of Masa, because that's how it works. But, yeah, big shout out and thanks to Nate for sending that our way. We kind of think it, like Joe brought this up to us right before we started recording, producer Joe. So good idea on his part. But at some point this offseason, we got to have like a listener submission of who says no's, and we just pick them and pick the best one. That'll we'll have to do that at some point. Good idea by Joe on that one. But any final thoughts before we wrap this thing up?
No. I am currently in Seattle as you're listening. As we record, I'm not. But when you're listening, I'm in Seattle. And don't worry, I'm going to come back with George Kirby, Bryce Miller, Logan Gilbert, one of those guys. Maybe Munoz for closer. So I'll get a deal over the line. Just you guys sit back and relax.
Shouts to Seattle Sammy. Seattle Sammy is a different animal. That hair on his neck is just, it is pointy.
Seattle. Last time I was in Seattle, Giolito came to the Red Sox and Yamamoto signed with the Dodgers. So shit happened last time.
Big things. But on that note, we'll wrap it right there. We appreciate you guys tuning into the bonus Who Says No episode for Play Tessie. Happy holidays to you. I think this one's dropping the day after Christmas, so hopefully you had a good Christmas. Happy holidays. We'll be back in your ears soon. I believe we're trying to get a full normal like episode 164 out there tomorrow. That's the plan as of right now. So we appreciate you guys tuning in, but remember to subscribe so you get that notification when tomorrow's comes out, when all the future ones, when the baseball offseason is really in full swing as we approach spring training. When all those episodes drop, you want to get those notifications. So hit that subscribe button. Rate us 5 stars. It helps us so much. Go to YouTube, find our faces on the WEI channel. We've got all our episodes on the Play Tessie playlist. Hit the thumbs up, subscribe to WEI on YouTube, and find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. So for Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, this has been Gordo for a Who Says No edition of Play Tessie. Big shouts to Pat for the Who Says No with Yandy Diaz. Shout out to Nate for the DM submission. Appreciate all you guys. Appreciate all the listeners. But till next time, thanks for tuning into this one. Peace.